Wisconsin Rapids Red Raiders play host to the Marshfield Tigers coming up Friday night. Catch all the action starting with pregame programming at 6:45 and the opening kickoff at 7 on AM 1320 WFHR and streaming live on WFHR.com. If you're hearing high school sports on AM 1320 WFHR, it's proudly brought to you by Wood Trust Bank, Herman Taylor Funeral Home Information Center, Marshfield Clinic, Sprinter, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, Ministry of Change Auto and Collision Center, Ida's, Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Paper City Savings, 8th Street Auto, Renaissance Learning, Aspirus, Riverview Hospital, and White Marsh Realty. The best in high school sports coverage is right here on AM 1320 WFHR.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
Rain showers and thunderstorms slowly tapering off through the afternoon, otherwise high temperatures topping out in the lower 70s with a southerly wind of 5. Chance of storms continuing through the night tonight. Lows will dip down to the upper 50s, but partly sunny skies in store for Saturday. Highs are going to top out in the lower 70s. A westerly wind of 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunny on Sunday as well with highs in the lower 70s. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Nikki Latola.
And right now, with some fog and mist and even light rain being reported across the region, it's 62 in Stevens Point and 64 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thanks again, Jerry, and welcome back, everybody, to today's show on AM 1320 and streaming live.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. You can reach your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700. Our topic for today's class, the ramifications of rising interest rates. And with that, we say, and good morning, Professor.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. I was telling Pete, while the commercial break was going on, I had two editions of the USA Today Money section, and back-to-back days, they had lead stories involving interest rates. Why a rate hike is a boon for banks, and then last word on rate hike might mean standing pat, and a sidebar story, raise rates sooner rather than later, urges J.P. Morgan CEO. So, this is the hot topic.
It certainly is.
And so, what's the latest? It seems like every day there's something new. They're going to raise rates. They're not going to raise rates.
Yeah, you know, one of the good news, bad news of having business television is that obviously the good news is they break a lot of stories, and you're on. The bad news is they just ad nauseum drone on and on and on, and so. You know, the latest continues to be, and again, as we've talked about over the years, is, you know, when you look at the market more times than not, it's a fairly good indicator of what is going on. So if you look at, you know, the odds on the marketplace, the probability that we'll raise interest rates, we being the central bank, in September is still a relatively 20% depending on the day, whereas the probability of in December is more like 60 to 70, again, depending on the day. And, you know, part of that is, you know, the part of, I think, the minority view of raising rates in September is, obviously, since this topic comes up, we went almost 2 months without a move in the marketplace. And we've had 1% or more move every day since, you know, the last Friday. So, so that's an indicator. Obviously, the last time they raised rates in December, we went into the abyss until the late February, and the markets were down. Our markets, I think, the S&P was down almost 12%. International market greater than that. So, that's the probabilities and odds. Logically, rates have got to go higher. I mean, going lower just doesn't seem logical, and lower at these low rates is, you know, marginal. You know, when you start looking at central banks and keeping rates low in order to stimulate economies,
right?
You know, it's theoretically it makes sense, but in 1989, the Japanese market was 39,000 in the Nikkei, all right?
Right.
And so like 14,000, and this is 27 years later, and their interest rates have been low for a long, long, long time. So I think what you're starting to see a little more of is that the central banks of the world are saying, you know, we've done this. We've done this for a long time in the United States, 8 or 9 years. We've had one rate increase. And that to really be successful in juicing the economy, we need to partner up with fiscal stimulation. And that would mean a functional Congress in our case, or a functional state government in our case, or whatever, so that they could put money into infrastructure projects, and they could hire more people and things like
right.
that. So I think there's kind of been a change in sentiment across the world central banks in terms of continuing the press down on lowering rates and QE programs. And I think the one reason, it was only one reason, is that never in the financial history of our world have we had $14-15 trillion at negative interest rates. So there's no precedent. There's no, we can go back in history and see what happened last time, which is what everybody references when they try to evaluate the market or predict a market like that. So that much money at negative rates, what does that ultimately mean? I mean, and one of the signals it gives off right now is, if you're going to give me your money to hold,
right,
and you're going to pay me for that right, and you're guaranteed to get back less money than you give me, just think about that. Why
wouldn't?
Well, one, you wouldn't, but yeah, we have $14 trillion that are at negative interest rates,
right?
All right? So is it because there's a boogeyman out there that things are going to be unbelievably bad? Or what? And so, you know, I think people can't figure out this phenomena, and there's no precedent. So, would you rather be safe than sorry?
Okay. You mentioned the central banks, the world's central banks, and the role they play. People hear that term, and the role that they play in this whole discussion, and as it relates to how the U.S. is going to respond.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a chicken. It's kind of a chicken and egg.
Okay.
Does the U.S. make a move and then they counter?
Right.
I think if you'd have to say in general, that's usually how it works. Look at, we were the first ones to do what was known as the quantitative easing, where
right.
we would go into the marketplace and buy bonds to drive the interest rates down so that mortgages and loans and long-term dated debt would be at a lower rate, which would be an incentive to, you know, purchase homes, to purchase cars, to purchase, you know, ticket items, you know, appliances, and remodel your house or,
sure.
or things like that would stimulate the economy. It was then a couple years later, and again, I'm not specifically if that was one or three, then we saw Japan jump in the frying pan, and then we saw Europe, and so in those particular cases, they had followed that particular strategy, and we were very, you know, the people I still don't think understand how close to a really, really disastrous depression type thing we were in 2008 with the financial markets.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, our central bank became very aggressive, and unfortunately for seniors and savers, you know, they've been victimized for 7 or 8 years here.
Okay. We got to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about this. The prospects for interest rates hikes and advantages and disadvantages and what it means for the investor. You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Back with more right after this.
From the day of recruitment till graduation day, it takes hard work and dedication to set themselves apart from the rest and call themselves student leaders. Catch all of the action right here on the Badger Sports Network.
The Badgers host Georgia State Saturday, kickoff at 11, right here.
The tradition continues. Badger football on AM 1320 WFHR.
Did you know that the average person has 26,000 days in their life? Once a day is done, it's done. Haven't you always dreamed of doing great things, climbing mountains, but wondered, where do I start? When you join Girl Scouts, you are given the opportunity to do all kinds of amazing things. Make your life better, the world better. So unleash your potential. Call 888-747-6945 or visit gsnwgl.org and begin the journey right now.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
Rain showers and thunderstorms slowly tapering off through the afternoon, dropping out in the lower 70s with a southerly wind of 5 to 10. Chance of storms continuing through the night tonight. Lows will dip down to the upper 50s, but partly sunny skies in store for Saturday. Highs are going to top out in the lower 70s. A westerly wind of 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunny on Sunday as well with highs in the lower 70s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Nikki Latola.
Right now, we have clouds 64 at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. We're talking today about the ramifications of rising interest rates. So, Pete, are you, from your viewpoint or what you're hearing, is it going to be later this year or earlier that we get the...
If I had a bet, I'd say December.
December. That's yeah. what I'm saying. Okay, what... Let's talk about advantages.
Well, the certain advantages is that, you know, the will of the economy obviously is dependent a lot on the financials.
Okay.
And we've spent, we being our government, has spent the last 5, 6, 7 years beating the heck out of the banks and fining them and fining them and fining them and putting restrictions on, really handcuffing the banks. You know, and that's not unusual. You know, when government something happens, you know, it's the equivalent of shutting the farm or the barn door after all the animals are out.
Okay,
they're going to padlock it and put 7 locks on it so it doesn't happen again. Well, so because of that, and because of the policy, you know, the margins on a lot of the banks and the volume and the lending. Has been somewhat constrained. You know, is it worth giving lending money at a relatively low rate? Is it worth the risk? So, you know, loans that might have been previously put into play, the risk reward just wasn't very good. So what we're reading here is that if they raise interest rates, theoretically, the rates along the entire, you know, 1 month to 30 year goes up, and so that the margins for banks and banks lending is that they would make more money, which would give them more incentive to lend, which would then be put into the economy, and the economy would be juiced up a little, all right?
Okay.
On the other side, what the central banks are also looking like is that insurance companies, one of the, you know, when you send them their premiums, sometimes they have to pay it back out in satisfying claims.
Sure.
And sometimes, most of the time, they hoard it in their investment portfolio. And in their portfolio, essentially, a good percentage is bonds because you're a risk because you may need to have that money to pay off claims. Well, you know, in the Treasuries, the 10-year is 1.5%. You know, it's been 1.25% to 2% in the last 12 months. I mean, that's not a lot of interest income coming into the portfolio.
Right.
And on the flip side, those insurance companies that do annuities and have promised minimum returns or returns based on the S&P 500 performance, there's a disconnect between sometimes what their portfolio is earning and what their long-term obligations are. And you've seen some big major write-offs. Metropolitan Life, one of the big MetLife, one of the big companies that took a billion-plus write-off because of that particular factor. So if you get a lot of companies, you know, to having to take these write-offs or not being able to pay those promises on the annuities, again, not a very good situation. So that's why there just seems to be more and more reasons that raising rates would be good.
Okay. What about the disadvantages, the flip side?
Well, the disadvantages is, I would guess, a couple things. Major concern is that the world is basically connected.
Right.
And raising interest rates, I would guess, as it pertained to the United States and raising it 25 basis points, I would guess the sun still comes up tomorrow. Right. And we're not doomed to a financial disaster. But because of the emergence and because of a lot of commodities are based on the dollar, and if our interest rates go higher, and right now they're arguably, you know, as high or higher than any of the developed world countries, there's probably a good possibility that people from foreign countries, governments, corporations would buy in, which would more than likely mean that.
Okay.
So if the dollar would rise, it would be one harder potentially for the emerging companies to sell their commodities. And the other thing is, because of the United States and the liquidity of their markets and the strength of their markets, a lot of the emerging countries have issued debt in dollar terms.
Okay.
And if the dollar gets stronger, that means they have bond comes due, probably pay more in the currency translation to take from what their currency value is versus the dollar. And that was part of what happened in the rate hike of December of last year. Commodity prices, you remember oil looked like there was no bottom in oil, iron ore, copper, all those things really sank. So to the reaction to the emerging markets would be I think one of the real catalysts out there, in terms of if they continue to raise rates or if this is a one and done type thing. But if we were just worrying about our country, I've said for a long time, we could get rates up to, you know, anything above these. But, you know, if an investor, saver, retired person could get 2-4%, all right, on $100,000, that's $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 more than they're getting now. And they might be more comfortable spending some money. But when you're in their case, a lot of the wealth is by just that's the way it goes. You work all your life, you save your money, and then you spend it when you retire. You know, and if you knew when you were going to die, it'd be a very easy budgetary situation because you could spend your last dollar
right
2 hours before you died, right?
Right.
But you don't have that. So there's a hesitancy, and when you're looking at retail and a lot of the bad retail, I mean, we've been getting negative reports on the dollar store and Family Dollar in terms of their earnings forecasts. And, you know, what does that mean? I mean, if you
people aren't spending.
Yeah, at the dollar store.
Right.
So, you know, what does that mean for, you know, retailing in general?
Okay. So what does it mean for investments? What for investors who are trying to get ahead of the curve, as it were?
Yeah, that. You know, again, crystal balls would be really helpful. But, you know, just logically think about this. There has been part of the market's strength has been the chase for income.
Right.
All right. And so if you look at things like utilities, and utilities are regulated companies.
You right.
know, the state commissions stamps or adjusts the rate increases that they want and things like that. But yet if you look at the multiple of earnings they're selling at, you know, some of them are selling at greater than tech companies that have much more growth potential. They have no regulation. And so the reason that is that, you know, you think of a interest, can there be in a utility?
Yeah, we're going to need electricity.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, all markets have their glory days, and all markets have days where it's not so sunny. And so, you know, I think that particular area is interesting to, if you've made great profits, which you should have, especially that you know, you got to analyze the effect of rising rates on those things. I would think the other thing that is really the most, the area that probably has the greatest potential for unbelievable volatility is if you're in bonds that are 10 years or greater, whether they're individual bonds or they're into bond funds or ETF funds, that interest rates go higher, the value of the bonds in the portfolio on a day-to-day basis go lower.
Okay.
Now, if you hold them to maturity, if you own individual bonds and it's a good bond, you're going to get your money back. The two issues there are, one, at the low rates now, if rates go higher and you've got 7 years bond, there's a huge opportunity cost between what your coupon, what income you're guaranteed to get, and what you're giving up by not being in another bond.
Okay.
You could sell the bond, but it isn't going to give you 100 cents on your dollar. It's going to give you 100 minus because they base it on the current income stream at that particular price. So, you know, last week before, long-term 30-year treasury went up 0.1% higher in the yield.
Okay.
All right. The bond fell 10 points or 1%. So a 0.1% move generated a 1% loss on valuation. So if you got a 0.5 tenths of a percent move, how much value do you lose on the bond? And again, if you hold it to maturity, it doesn't matter. But if you're stuck with a coupon of 2%, and in a year those things are going for 3.25%, you leave money on the table. So the long term bond market, I think, is vulnerable. The bonds, long term dated, I think, are very vulnerable. You know, we like 3 years and less. We like high yield, good corporate, you know, good corporate names, because the time span, three years seems long, but we all know, man, you look up and it's gone. I just thought I invested that money.
Okay. You mentioned something that's kind of interesting, because in the money section at USA Today this week, there was a gentleman, one of these gurus of investing, who was saying, get ready for a big correction in the bond market. And he was urging a lot of caution about the use of bonds in your portfolio.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, there's sometimes, some things are logical, but the bond market rally started in 1980.
Okay.
And in that time, and the reason I know this is that was first year I started working for Merrill Lynch. But you could get, I think the 30-year treasury at one point was 15 or 16% was the coupon. So on $10,000, you could get $1,600 a year.
Okay.
All right. Municipal bonds were double digit. CDs were double digit. Double digit. So we've come from a very high elevation. The irony is that at that time with those rates, people didn't want to go out much more than a year or two because, oh my God, what if they go higher?
Right.
And, you know, the crowd's usually wrong. And now we've had more money go into bond funds and bond equivalents in the last year in the history of the bond markets. So, you know, again, if you assume when everybody's in, there's no one left to buy, you can see that at some point, you know, rates are going up. We can't have 0% rates forever. And so that's why it's fairly easy to say that, you know, it's logical rates go up. But it's important, if you buy these things, is that there's a rule that economists usually have, and that is give a prediction or give a date,
Right.
But never give them together. That way you can never be wrong.
That's right. Okay. Give a prediction and give it, but never together. What do you foresee with the stock market? It's been on a roller coaster, right? Like you mentioned last night, everybody's going, well, there's been different articles about what the factors that are causing this wild ride, but I think won't a lot of it settle out after November?
Yeah, there's a couple of elements that make it really hard to predict, all right? The central banks obviously are in it for what's best, and I think that they'll raise rates. I don't think they need to raise. If they continue to raise rates, it's because the economy is getting stronger. The concern is there's inflation, wages are going up, and things like that, which is all good. And so for a period of time, that will be bullish for the market. There'll come a time if they continue to raise rates where the door gets slammed a little and stuff, all right? So
okay.
I would guess that, you know, we go up 25 basis points. All right, so now your money market's giving you maybe 0.5%. Well, you know, preferreds are giving you 6.5%, and some quality stocks, which have drawn back, are giving you 3%, 4%, 5%. So I think there would be a re-entry in the market. The caveat is this: it's an election year,
mm-hmm.
And I think we've talked maybe a couple times. We talked, I know, one time this year just on election year,
right.
But I think some of the volatility we've seen in the last week is a reassessment by the market that it may be not a given that Hillary's going to win.
Right.
And Donald Trump is Donald Trump, and which what that means is you don't know. I mean, one day he's on this side of the fence, the next day he's not on this side of the fence. I mean, some of his previous statements about trade agreements and things.
Sound almost Bernie Sanders-ish.
Yeah, maybe, but more importantly, there is a precedent on that, and the Smoot-Hawley-Taft Act
of
the 30s was a leading reason why that depression went on so long, because we're all interwoven here. We, you know, that ship has sailed, and so if we're not trading with China and we're not trading with trading back with us, and you know, it's so that whole thing is pretty interesting. And so I guess I would say that if these markets continue to be volatile in lieu of no rate increase in September, I think it's a readjusting to Trump could potentially be our president. And then I would guess that to occur, there would be a sell-off to a certain degree, much like Brexit, and then it would be a matter of, you know, who he appoints and regaining confidence in, you know, that this could end up being better than a lot of people fear at this point.
Yeah, because, you know, Brexit was the end of the world, and the world is still here.
Right, and, you know, the irony of Brexit was two quick things, was that, A, no one predicted it, all right? Even the guys who championed that cause, after they won, they were so surprised they won. They all resigned and got the heck out of there because they didn't know what this next step was. And Brexit was June 23rd. Today is what, September 16th?
Yeah.
They haven't made any efforts to do anything to enact Brexit, do Article 50 play. It could be Y2K all over again.
Okay. Well, Pete, a very interesting topic this morning. As always, I appreciate your time, and have a great weekend.
Same to you. Thank you.
Okay, and that's going to do it for this edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bryan. That's going to do it for the Friday edition of The Morning Magazine. We'll join CBS News right after this.
Home for great local news, sports, and weather is